How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by Vanilla Valley.
Howdy, I'm Vanilla.
And we just finished watching the 1973 animated Robin Hood film from Disney. At least for me, this was my introduction to the mythology and lore of the Robin Hood character. And because I had a predilection towards foxes and wolves, this was, of course, my favorite version for the longest time. It's the one that I grew up with before I was introduced to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and any other iteration that could possibly have existed. So for me, this was Robin Hood for the majority of my life. This was what I took to be Robin Hood. And it's really a cool, interesting little film. Some great overlap with some of the voice actors, which we'll get into here in a bit. It also has the Oodalali song, which, became the infamous hamster dance of internet infamy. And just a whole lot of interesting things in this movie. Pretty popular film. So, Vanilla, how have you not seen this?
So, as far as Disney movies go, if they weren't in the, you know, the white plastic box Disney mm-hmm. movies that, like, came out and have
the... Yeah, the clamshell packaging?
If they weren't those, I probably haven't seen them. So, the ones I can think of are, like, your big Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, you know, those... sort of like five star, everyone's seen them, knows them.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, I grew up a little poorer as a kid, so, you know, we didn't have a whole bunch of money okay. to spend on movies. My parents, you know, were probably traveling around the time this movie came out, and then, mm-hmm. you know, by the time that VHS was around, that stuff, they had no time for this. So I just completely missed this, and... this is the first time I've ever actually seen or experienced Robin Hood in any form other than, like, hearing about it, like, through people or, like, in literature classes or stuff like that. I've never read it. The closest thing I've come to is that piece of shit, Once Upon a Time, the TV show.
Okay, the television show,
all
right.
So yeah. I know that, but they do shit all for explaining what Robin Hood actually does. So my concept yeah. before this movie was Robin Hood stole from the rich, gave to the poor. There was some shit about, like, King Richard had a brother, and then, you know, maybe there was a friar. Friar Tuck.
Friar Tuck, right? Yeah. Okay, so it's like, you hadn't even seen Robin Hood Men in Tights, the Mel Brooks film?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, which I should see, because, you know, Mel Brooks is awesome.
Yeah, and that honestly is probably the last good film he's done, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I have no concept of the timeline of his movies either.
Pretty much, it went that, then he did Dracula, Dead and Loving It, and then... I don't know if he's done anything since. I'll have to check that out. Because okay. even the producers, like, even though he wrote that, like, he didn't direct that film, I don't think.
Okay, so Spaceballs and Young Frankenstein were both before this?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Young Frankenstein was, I want to say, 77, 78, somewhere in there. Spaceballs was mid-80s.
Okay, yeah, and I saw both of those.
Yeah, and then Robin Hood Men in Tights would have been after Spaceballs, I think. All
right.
So, yeah, so, wow, that's bizarre to me that, like, you had no real experience with Robin Hood prior to this.
Yeah, I don't know, like...
Which is, like me being six and seeing this for the first time, that makes sense.
Right.
But yeah, that's crazy that, like, you somehow escaped the reach of something like Robin
yeah,
Hood.
So totally weird that the first experience I have with this is, like, a 23-year-old seeing, like, fucking animals do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the weird dark shit that they throw in there, like, the mother of, like, 20 rabbits
yeah.
having no father and being like, those yep. kids were just born, that father just died sometime.
Yep, the widower. God, that's... I'm still hung up on the Robin Hood things. I'm thinking of all the various... the Errol Flynn films from the 30s and the 40s. Like, this...
Yeah, it's something I should have seen, but I'm too busy going back and watching staples like The Running Man.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I can never fault anyone for watching Schwarzenegger instead. So, yeah. I certainly understand that. All right, well, now that we have seen him, what did you think?
I thought for a Disney movie, it was exactly what it needed to be.
Like, yeah.
It was like an hour and 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You get some nice, you know, you get the overture at the beginning, just like, well, you know, right at the tail end of when movies stopped doing that.
Uh-huh.
So it was nice. You get to get all that, you know, hearing that hamster song was a total throwback.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwback to the future after this movie.
Uh-huh.
It was really funny to see, like, the character names, even on the IMDb page, like, the character names are a chicken. Like, Friar Tuck, a badger.
Yeah.
Which totally lost that that was a fucking badger. So it was, the introduction to it was weird. Seeing, like, the sheriff, like, his cartoon image, like, when he was introduced was, like, him having a noose. I was like, okay, this is gonna be a noose movie.
Yeah.
But other, it was, you know, good songs. The animation was really good. This was in the age when Disney movies weren't a genre yet. They were still just cartoons.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now Disney movies are in a genre in themselves. They're not cartoons. Mm-hmm. They're animation. They're animated, but they're not like, you know, your standard animation that you see now. So this was totally cartoony. You know, we saw that throughout the movie. We saw the cheat frames where they would double frames and like flip it over or just repeat, mm-hmm. you know, the series of 10 frames or whatever. So that was cool, but, you know, as far as, and you could totally see the cartoony style, like, where the snake hiss, like, had the, like, etchings of fur on the side,
yeah.
even though he was a fucking snake, because drawing is hard, and drawing accurately each time, so you're gonna get those fur marks on the side,
uh-huh.
you just can't have curves be even all the time. But no, like, it was, you know, an hour and 20 minutes was exactly how long this should
be. No, it's very well paced, and it has the good sense to parachute out when it's time to.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I think a lot of Disney movies from this era stuck to that. They're relatively short, like movies like The Aristocats, Lady and the Tramp, and just those, like, they don't wear out their welcome. And I can appreciate that about those. And it's interesting, too, so, like, seeing this. So how does this stack up against, like, I guess what we would call more contemporary Disney fare, which I guess I would say include anything between 1990 and present, so, like, from Aladdin on?
I would say it rewatching, like, rewatchability is probably lower.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, you don't have quite as catchy of tunes since it's so specific to what's going on. It's like, here, like, the situation. You know, they use the situation that's going on to actually tell a story. Whereas, like, Mulan is, it's, I'll make a man of you. That's not like, hey, I'm taking this woman and turning into a soldier, even though I don't know she's a woman. She's not really a soldier. She's a princess or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that. It's just, like, you know, kind of this, you know, flat, blank slate of, you know, anyone can relate to this song. So that's, you know, Disney's relatability is a lot of why it's popular.
Yeah. As soon as you mentioned that, we talked about this when we watched Mulan. For a Disney movie, kind of low on songs.
Yeah.
This movie, there's, I want to say, 3, maybe 4 songs. There's the Oodalali number from the very beginning.
Right.
Which recurs. They do, like, leitmotifs with it throughout. There's the love theme that plays when Maid Marian and Robin Hood are walking in the forest after the archery tournament. And then there's the Phoney King of England song. And I think that's it.
Right, yeah.
I think it's those 3 and maybe a 4th. Oh, and there's the Not in Nottingham.
Okay, yeah.
The kind of sad ballad that he plays when they're all in prison.
Right.
So 4 songs, which is pretty light for an hour and 20 minute film.
Yeah, which, you know, at the pacing, you get 1 song every 20 minutes, which is just about what you need.
Yeah.
Anymore, and you'd be wasting too much of your time just singing. What the fuck is Oodalali? Is that a common phrase that I've just missed?
I assume that's just the thing British people say to feel good or whatever. I don't understand how England works.
I didn't know if it was like the British equivalent to what is it? This is a great podcast material. It's when you say, like, "Ready or not, here I come," or like when you're searching for someone.
Mm-hmm. Ali Ali Oxen.
Yeah, that's it. Ali Oxen Oxford. I didn't know if it was the English version of that.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything like that. Okay. I think it's, I mean, it's the same thing as obla di obla da, probably.
Yeah.
Just some nonsense, some silly bullshit that fit within the parameters of the melody they were working with.
Yeah. Speaking of silly bullshit, there was... Most of these people, like, had completely different accents of what should be. Like, the sheriff was the biggest example of being a fucking, like, country bumpkin westerner.
The sheriff sounded like fucking Roscoe P. Coltrane from Dukes of Hazzard, or,
Right, yeah.
Or like, Buford T. Justice from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, and then, like, most of the other people were, like, kind of English, and then the chicken was fucking Scottish, like, blatantly Scottish.
Yeah, Lady Cluck. Yeah, yeah. Very Scottish. And Alan Adale was very much an American-sounding folk singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ranged from, like, Cockney to not Cockney.
Yes.
So, yeah, very, very diverse dialects with the accents.
Yeah, and then you have, like, of course, the sidekick to the evil villain is a snake. Is just the snake from...
Ka from Jungle Book.
Jungle Book. Like, down to... It's a snake that hypnotizes you with its eyes in the same way.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, the Jungle Book came after this, yeah?
I can check.
Yeah, because I'm... If it didn't come out of this, that would be incredible, because the animation in... Or the cartooning in the Jungle Book is way better than this.
Mm.
So I'd be super surprised. But, yeah, I mean, that's just... Disney and, you know, all of the cartoon families there started their reign of, you know, really forcing down the tropes of what animals can do.
Yeah. Jungle Book, 1967, predates Robin Hood.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So this did just copy.
It's funny that you mentioned that, too, because if you compare some of the sequences in these movies, they stack up against other ones. The scene with Little John dancing looks very similar to the I Want to Be Like You number from the Jungle Book,
where
Baloo is dancing with King Louie. And then the band, there's even, at one point you even see a cat playing. So it, like, they clearly, like, recycled the animation for, like, Aristocats later for the Everybody Wants to Be a Cat number.
Right.
I think it's funny just watching this now again, because, like, I've seen it written about, but I've never gone back and watched them yet. And seeing it this time, I was like, this is absolutely, like, these numbers from those other films.
Right. Yeah. They also did, I'm 90% sure there were, like, some cameos in there that, like, weren't supposed to be there, but if you're keen, like, the bulldog was in there from... Mm-hmm. Not the Disney Bulldog, Warner Brothers Bulldog. I think that was thrown in there as a secret. And then when they're taking the gold out of the castle, be it like that big, the train of people.
Uh-huh.
What's the main character? Robin Hood as the stork is one of the people carrying the bags of gold. So, like, they just threw that in there thinking that no one would catch it. But, like, to have that in there, like, because they had to have a whole bunch of bodies, but they only have so many characters that can actually do this to make it, you know, seem like they have a whole bunch of different bodies of different characters. They had to throw stuff like that in there.
Oh, the opening scene is probably, like, one of the coolest introductions in any Robin Hood story with the fortune teller robbery.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool, and I never thought about it before. Little John hiking up his skirt to convince the royal carriage to stop.
Yeah,
at one point I was like, oh, well, John's implying that he might fuck the prince.
Yeah. This I wonder if this was one of the movies that started off furries onto their path. Because, you know, I have nothing wrong with furries, but it just so happens that the biggest thing is foxes, it seems like.
Foxes and cats. Yeah, foxes are very sexual creatures.
And the main characters are two of the best-looking foxes in any Disney film. A
couple of foxy foxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would not be surprised. That scene with Marion and Robin Hood walking in the forest, like, and dancing, like...
Yep.
That's furry porn, essentially.
Yeah, there's a fanfic version where they don't get cock-blocked by a surprise party, and they actually get that sense.
Oh, my God. Fucking fanfiction. This is the second time in about as many weeks that fanfiction has come up on this podcast, and I don't know what my life is becoming anymore.
I mean, it's gonna happen. That's like, what, 30% of the internet is probably fanfiction?
Yeah, that's probably fair to say, especially when it comes to Disney things like this. we mentioned earlier, I like too that because every time I see the vultures in this, I obviously think of the vultures in the Jungle Book,
right?
And they're so different in this one. Like, they're these inept kind of Dukes of Hazzard style sheriff characters, and in the Jungle Book, they're the Beatles,
right? Yeah,
like
yeah.
And just to see the demeanor, and I wonder too how much of the animation they recycled for those characters in the Jungle Book and Trigger and Nutsy in Robin Hood here.
Probably a lot, and you know, I can't fault them for doing that.
No, certainly not.
Animation was expensive. I mean, I wonder how many of the, because there are obviously some of the same voice actors. You know,
yeah,
we said Baloo was the same.
Yeah,
as...
Phil Harris voiced Baloo and Little John, and then. What was it? The actor that plays Saxton the Mouse, John Fiedler.
Yeah,
Saxton the Mouse. All the voice of Piglet from Winnie the Pooh, of course.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much, like, especially with Baloo, I wonder if that was a like contract thing where they say like, hey, we're, you know, we really like your voice, we want you for this movie and another movie, because you know, back then there wasn't. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of these movies. It wasn't, voice acting wasn't a standard thing to do. You didn't know how much these movies should pay you to have your voice on.
Uh-huh. This is, I'm looking at this now. It says like they obviously cast a lot of British voice actors. It's like Brian Bedford, who was Robin Hood, I believe, is a British actor, if I'm recalling correctly. And yeah, English actor. Known for Shakespeare work, but then several of the voice actors were American. Case in point, what's his face? Pat Buttram is the sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah,
and the vultures. And apparently, it says here there were veteran performers from westerns.
Okay, yeah. Andy Devine is also on that western list.
Yeah, yeah. And Roger Miller was a country singer, and he was Alan Dale, the rooster.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Peter Ustinov. Yeah, Peter Ustinov was Prince John and King Richard. I was right on that call. Which is good. I'm trying to think what else Peter Ustinov is known for, because I know the name.
Oh, wow. Carol Shelley was in Hercules. Carol Shelley was the chicken thing.
Oh, Lady Cluck?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, real... that's one of the things with this movie, is that I think they did those introductions at the beginning because they don't do a great job saying their names. Like, I don't remember Lady Cluck's name ever being...
Yeah, like, it gets brought up maybe once or twice. Like, yeah, it's very, very quick. And then, like, Alan Dale only... I think he only gets called by his name once.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely a good call that they introduced us to those characters up top of the movie.
Right.
Another thing I noticed, and again, like another thing that made me think of the Jungle Book, is the final confrontation between the Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin Hood in the tower with the fire. Because, like, as soon as Robin Hood sees the torch, his eyes do the exact same thing that Shere Khan's eyes do in the Jungle Book, when Mowgli comes after him with the flaming branch. And it's just... Yeah, the third acts of Disney films, they get real, real dark real quick.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything's playful... And it's all, like, fun, kind of slapsticky, running away from the bad guys, or a giant armoire cabinet jumping down on French villagers that are raiding the castle.
Yep.
And then it's Gaston stabbing the beast in the back and getting thrown to his death. Just 180s real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, This was weird that, because like they had to have this, because this is a story that's well known. Like, Robin Hood exists already.
Yeah, certainly.
So there was nothing really they could have done to like Disneyify it, other than, well, if they're animals, then they're not people, and we have no problem killing like not people.
Yeah,
even though I don't remember anyone actually.
No, nobody dies in this movie.
Yeah, the only death that there is like the non-scene rabbit,
yeah, the
rabbit father death.
Yeah, exactly, the widower, and there's, yeah.
But you could, I mean, if you're a kid, you could go the entire time and not be like, oh, where's the dad?
Yeah, but no characters are killed during the course of the film.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because there aren't, I don't think there are many Disney movies where a character isn't killed.
Yeah, I can't think of one right off. At least a character or, like, a creature. Because in Hercules, I don't remember a person dying, but they were playing creatures that died.
Yeah. I want to say, I don't think anyone dies in Jungle Book. Because Shere Khan just is exiled and he flees the jungle. Like, Mowgli's left, like, found in the jungle orphan, but I don't think, like, you see his parents killed or anything.
Right. Yeah. When did Bambi come out?
Bambi would have been way before this.
Because we don't actually see that death either.
No, but it does happen within the film itself. Whereas, like, these ones, like, there are no deaths within the story at all. 1942 for Bambi.
So, looks like it took them a while to realize that, you know, they could get away with killing people.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of anything around this era or earlier where people overtly died.
Yeah, and most of them are very violent. We talked about some of them. We did Mulan, like the death, I'm blanking on the guy's name, Shen Yu, I think, maybe. Shang Yu, something like that. The whoever the villain is in Mulan, who literally gets blown up.
Right.
And then, of course, Gaston getting thrown to his death. The hunter in Tarzan getting strangled to death by vines.
Yeah.
Like,
although it looks like they're starting to get away from that, because I don't remember a death in Frozen. I don't remember a death in Princess and the Frog, but where would there be a fucking death in that?
Yeah, Frozen I haven't seen yet. Well, Princess and the Frog, something weird happens to the voodoo guy, right? Like, I only saw it one time.
They probably get, like, some weird voodoo misfortune.
He gets banished to a nightmare dimension or something.
But it can't be a death. Yeah, doesn't he goes to live with the city of the dead or something like that? I remember a confrontation in a graveyard.
Yeah, I definitely remember that part. Let's take a look, consult Wikipedia. And check this out real quick. Get to the bottom of this story.
Yeah, riveting Princess and the Frog story that we should already know, because that's probably an older... it's probably not older than Robin Hood, but who knows?
The Princess and the Frog?
Yeah, as far as like, actual old lore.
Oh, gotcha. Not the actual film. Let's see, what is... Oh, yeah, a voodoo spirit claims Facilier as payment for his debts. Here's the Wikipedia entry. Drags him into hell.
Okay.
So, Princess and the Frog's got one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a live hell death, but I guess it's still death.
It's still... Getting dragged to hell in the cartoons usually pretty terrible. Like, All Dogs Go to Heaven, the scene, like, where you get a glimpse of hell, terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, there is very little actual religion in this. In the whole scene with the... Like, every scene with the friar, you see no Christian imagery at all. The only Christian imagery, I think, actually isn't... At least overt imagery. Excusing all the metaphors that would be in there, since it's the Robin Hood story anyway.
Yeah.
Would be, at the end, King Richard has...
Has the cross yeah. But of course, he'd also just come back from the crusade. Right. So, yeah.
Which is, you know.
Yeah, why wouldn't you wear your cross back from the Crusades?
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole reason you went and fought the Crusades.
Right.
Yeah. Cool, is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we wrap it up?
I can't, you know, it being an 88-minute movie, there's not a whole lot in there. I think we touched pretty much everything.
Yeah, covered a pretty good chunk of it.
Yeah.
Well, cool, let's wrap it up then. Favorite moment?
My favorite moment... I don't know, the prison scene was pretty good.
Yeah, the jailbreak?
The actual everyone's in prison.
Oh, when they're doing the not Nottingham song?
Yeah, that. Just because, you know, the whole thing throughout the movie is that, like, the chicken, or the rooster with the guitar is the only one who, like, knows this is, like, a movie. He's talking to the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Which eventually dies out in Disney movies. But it was just neat to see, like, yeah, we're in fucking prison singing a song. Like, this sucks. Like, take a break, kids. Remember that this is a historical story that actually kind of happened.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be totally true, but people suffered and died in prison because kings suck and crusades happened.
Yeah, well, I also love it, too, because, it's a complete tonal shift in the movie as well. Because even, like, in the other scenes, like, even when Robin Hood's in danger, like, everything is still bright. an animated, like, and there's definitely a sense of urgency, but then it cuts to this, and it's just this gray palette and raining, and it, like, it almost looks like a different movie for that sequence.
Yeah.
Which is really cool that they were able to squeeze that departure in.
Yeah.
And I think it's a cool shift.
And it set the tone for a lot of movies have this, that when you try to do something good and don't do it all the way, you get fucked and everything's worse for a while.
Yeah.
Like, you see that in Batman, you see that in Spider-Man, all the superhero movies that you see now, that's, like, the biggest trope, and this is one of their earlier movies that I can actually think of that being exposed to, you know, a wide audience, because, you know, if you put it in a Disney movie, everyone's gonna fucking know it.
Of course. Yeah. Cool. I think, for me, my favorite moment is probably the entire archery tournament sequence.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun, and there's some really funny moments in there, and of course they're leaning towards slapstick with, like, the chase sequence and the Lady Cluck essentially doing the running back routine throughout it, and then Hiss getting drunk after getting shoved into a barrel of ale. And I think that's just a really fun sequence in the movie.
Now there's one more thing. Derailed the podcast. The one thing I love seeing in movies and animation is seeing another medium in the medium. So, like, the puppeteering that was in this movie for a short time. I love seeing, like, you're a cartoonist drawing another medium in your medium. Like, you have to say, okay, so, like, how do puppets work? And how do puppets work in this cartoon world?
Yeah.
Or, like, when Robin Hood would put on disguises. Like, they did a really good job making him look like a stork. Down to the point where it was stupidly inaccurate that, like, his tongue changed to a stork tongue from a fox tongue.
Yeah.
But it was totally cool to see, like, all right, you know, how does it look to draw a fox as a stork in a world where neither of those things actually look like a fox or a stork to begin with?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's always really cool to see, and I think they did it really well.
Yeah, the disguises were really solid, and they worked.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we're going to wrap it up there then. Vanilla, thanks for coming on and doing
the podcast. Thanks for
having me. Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. You're listening to this. Come out to Wild Goose Creative tonight at 8 o'clock to check out Struck a Nerve, the Pop Culture Mixtape, the Magic Kingdom Edition, where we're going to be doing all Disney stuff, which is why we're doing this for the podcast. So thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.